Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello, my friends, wanderers, ramblers, nomads. How are you today? And welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. Yes, that's how they say it. I do like it. We are in for an adventure, my friends. And that adventure starts with shock, dismay, confusion, and then hopefully a little bit of candor. We need to do a lot of speaking and listening if we want to see change, and change is possible. But there are many people who are stuck in the current paradigm, and they will not find the change they're looking for by doing the same things that haven't worked so far. And those of us who want to experience proper freedom know that instead of the wheel keeps on turning in favor of the prevailing establishment and their carefully constructed narratives. You may be able to walk outside your house freely right now, but in the digital realm especially, you are in a digital panopticon with a slave collar firmly wrapped around your neck. The furors of the big corporations, such as Google and YouTube, help to manage this obvious societal decline by offering nothing more than bread and circuses to distract us from our own imprisonment. Many of us imprison ourselves. Yes, we do. However hard we try to push out information which has been previously unknown, the more we realize that the cage is already set up to prevent us discussing facts. Here at TNT Radio, I may be given free rein to speak about anything I like, and I'm allowed to bring on any guest I want, but platforms such as this are few and far between, and the others I've seen are often tinged with political bias, of course. My own experience has been constant censorship since about 2017, when I wrote an article about Theresa May's father's relationship with Dr. John Bodkin Adams, the infamous serial killer who got away with murdering over 150 people, mostly women, after he had convinced them to sign him into their last will and testaments. When that article was released, almost 250,000 people read it within a day, and my card was fully marked by the establishment. Never again was my work going to be allowed to go that viral. The experience of that article taught me something else. It was just before the UK elections between Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn, and not one of the mainstream media outlets picked up the story at all. Various MSM journalists would have read the article, and no doubt a few establishment minions would have brought the attention to their bosses. But the silence was across the board. No one was allowed to talk about it. And that is what many in the independent media are now confronted with head on. The dissemination of information which goes against the carefully curated establishment narratives, and there are many of these, are really all over the place, are well-defined, are ingrained within every part of the media. This authoritarian rule has now seen a response. Many people who saw or experienced censorship firsthand realized almost immediately that this was the battle of our modern era. This isn't just about the elites silencing a voice here or there. This is instead a systematic attempt to wipe out all dissent. You are a dissenter. I know that you're a dissenter, a revolutionary and a freedom warrior, because you are here, listening to someone from the darkest bowels of the truther community disseminate information which is dangerous for the New World Order octopus. We can't expect any change overnight. In fact, the systematization of AI to censor independent voices means that we are at the beginning of this journey rather than near the end. Here on the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT, I am bringing you the people which drive the MSM narrative creators out of the temples. We are turning over the tables of those who are forcing our friends and family into financial servitude, and we are fighting. We are all aware of the dystopian future which is rising up around us. We know that eventually uncomfortable information will be sent up the pipe by someone resembling Winston Smith to be burnt, and we will no longer know what we do not know. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop informing your friends and loved ones. Don't stop disseminating information. We are in a nightmare, and the biggest fight with the darkest creatures who we can possibly envision. They're here in front of us. The fight is now. So fight it. Saying that, why not give TNT a follow? We are on all major social platforms, including Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out and cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk TNT. Now, let's get on to a little bit of news, shall we? The recently elected president of Argentina, Javier Milei, has announced plans to dismiss 70,000 government employees in the coming months, highlighting another major step to implement chainsaw-wielding libertarians' ambitious vision of a small state society. Here with the story, join me now, TNT producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. How are you?
Very well, Johnny. There I am. I was like, I thought I wasn't here for a second. Argentina, that country is about to get a haircut, as it were, an austerity haircut. The government is about to lose 70,000 workers, 70,000 people will no longer be employed soon. As Bloomberg reports, the newly elected president, Milei, plans to get rid of all of these people in the coming months, in how Bloomberg describes it, one of the clearest signs yet of how the libertarians' chainsaw-style approach intends to slash the swollen state. See, I had to share that because they did all the clever thing with the words there. But speaking of words, what did Mr. Milei have to say? He said, quote, "We are convinced of carrying out a fiscal adjustment, which has a lot of chainsaw and blender," end quote. This is what he said in an hour-long speech at a March 26th event held in Buenos Aires by the International Economic Forum of the Americas. And it was in reference to his plan to rapidly bring the South American countries hovering 250% inflation down to single-digit levels. Furthermore, he says, quote, "We completely eliminated public works, of which I am proud, and something that all good people should oppose. We eliminated discretionary transfers to the provinces. We fired 50,000 public employees. Contracts were canceled, and 70,000 more are going to be cut," end quote. Mr. Milei, a self-proclaimed anarcho-capitalist, also touted, the termination of more than 200,000 social welfare programs, which he said were delivered in a quote-unquote irregular manner. Quote, "At no time was social policy neglected," end quote. That's what he assured the audience, pointing to the increases in allocations to help citizens cover food and schooling expenses. In a statement to the Argentine newspaper La Nación, Casa Rosada, the Argentine government house, explained that the 70,000 figure represents the universe of government employee contracts currently under review. The Milei administration further noted that the cut will be conducted in stages, with about 20% of those employees set to be laid off by the end of this month. Things are happening quick. Mr. Milei's presidency started with a promise to stop Argentina's decades-long spiral into economic oblivion. In December of 2023, when he was sworn into office, more than 26 million people, that's 49%, almost half of the country's population, were living in poverty. Despite its rich economic resources, Argentina has defaulted on its sovereign debt a total of 9 times. The country often found itself grappling with mounting foreign debt, including tens of billions, with a B, of dollars of loans from the good old IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and more recently from China, its second largest trade partner. Prior to the rise of Milei, Argentina's politics was dominated by Peronism, a populist movement founded in the 1940s and characterized by left-wing collective public policies such as nationalizing the central bank and large corporations, expanding social welfare benefits, and forging alliances with labor unions. In his speech on March 26, Mr. Milei reiterated his vow for a departure from all of that, the Peronist status quo, which he described as a quote-unquote true catastrophe. Finally, he said to that, concerning all that, he says, quote, "We Argentines lost 80% of our income in this populist adventure that took place in recent years. 5 million Argentines do not have enough to eat, and we also had a twin deficit of 17 points of GDP," end quote. He also announced a bunch of other plans. He's freezing public works. He's cutting off some funding to provisional governments. He's recently terminated more than 200,000 social welfare plans. He's doing a lot, Johnny. So my question to you is, Javier Milei making Argentina great again?
I think there is a bit of great in this. I think Parallel Mike may say, who we had on the other day, may say that this might be an element of the great taking rather than anything else, because, I mean, that's 70,000 people in a country stricken with poverty and debt who now can't feed their families. So what is it to be replaced with? Well, within libertarian ideology, it's, you know, whatever you want to do, yet we're not going to give you any options, and we're not going to create these things because we're in debt. That seems like we're heading back towards what we see, probably. I mean, it must be on a cycle of about 20-25 years, Argentina, and seeing their debt go into spiral, and their society pretend to reform a little bit while just taking on more debts. I'm just amazed. I think that is a striking development, and smells a little bit of the great taking to me.
Well, I mean, this is why he's popular. This is why he was elected. He promised to get all of these things fixed. But, you know, time will tell. I mean, he seems to actually be doing the job. I mean, again, time will tell. But, like, I'm in a country, Johnny, where, like, you know, everyone's waiting to see if is Trump coming back or not. Well, the first time he was here, like most politicians, make a bunch of promises. His big promise to the American people was lock her up. He was going to pursue Hillary Clinton for, like, crimes, and she is guilty of crimes and she should have been locked up. But that was his campaign message, make America great again, and everyone chanting, lock her up, lock her up. That was his big campaign promise to the people. He's going to lock her up. On day one, after he won the election, Johnny, in case you didn't know, he said, "I believe we owe Hillary Clinton a great debt of gratitude." He said thank you to her instead of locking her up. So I like to see world leaders who were elected on campaign promises actually fulfilling those promises. I don't know at this stage if it's going to do anything to save the Argentinian people, but I hope it does. It's certainly better than what they were dealing with before he was elected.
I definitely can agree with you on the fact that politicians do not keep their promises at all. And I mean, what you're saying about the lock her up chance, well, I'm sure we're going to hear that from Democrats. Crowds over this election run with lock him up, and they're going to be talking about Trump more than likely. It's amazing as well. Yeah, you're right. That moment where they then turn around and flip on everything that they've said, it is terrible. But would, you know, is taking away 70,000 jobs without maybe having a safety net in place that can work to help develop new parts of the economy. I mean, I'd like to see what they're doing in developing their economy, because it sounds like he has an ideological this Javier Milei, he has an ideological head on him that is focused on something that seems bigger than him. I would be very interested to see what policies he can possibly enact that can give back some sort of, you know, money into people's banks. Because those people, really, I mean, you're talking 70,000 jobs in a country that's got poverty and debt. That's probably 250,000 mouths to feed that are now no longer got money coming in.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But, you know, he's got a plan. So we're all going to have to sit back and watch how his plan plays out. It is a bit of an experiment. I don't think anything like this has taken place before in a modern history. So we'll see if he succeeds, Johnny. And if he does, maybe others could, you know, succeed as well. Or more likely than not, they're waiting to watch him fail so that they can see, this is why we need communism and the IMF and the World Economic Forum, because you guys are fools and you don't know what you're doing. There's always that theory.
I get a feeling that theory will definitely be the winner at the end of it. But thank you very much. I'll see you in the second hour, Ruckus, on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us, and the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Awesome. Welcome back. Sorry, I was dancing to the tune there. This is the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. And I am going to introduce you to someone today who I really like. I like him very much. I have three guests to introduce you to this in this episode of the Johnny Vedmore Show. And the first man is a man who I love. He spent the last year with the thankful task of creating a heavily censored show called The Independent Review. If you don't know about The Independent Review, it's because it's a victim of exactly what it's trying to combat, which is blanket censorship of the most important topics on earth, of course. Ryan Graham, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing, Johnny? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no, I'm happy to have you on. I mean, we're in the independent media. We're all on this journey, aren't we? And it's a crazy old time. Well, I'm pleased that you could join me on today's News Talk Radio on TNT. Sorry, I can't help go into the radio voice. You are someone I love for not only your efforts to do what I talked about in the monologue earlier, which is the dissemination of information which counters the establishment narrative, but also because you actually care. But before we start off, you're also a rare breed indeed, aren't you? Because you're an American who plays and watches rugby. How did you enjoy the Six Nations, my friend?
Oh, that was rough. It started off good, as usual. and it just spiraled out towards the end. But hey, I had at least they beat England. I'll take that.
Yeah, there was some really good matches in there.
There were
a couple of Italy's performance went up a level, and and it's a very interesting. It's got just getting more and more competitive every year. So I get a feeling they'll stick in another couple of nations in there soon. Though I do,
right?
But yeah, it's good. It's good fun. So who came up with the independent review then?
I came up with it, but I have to always give credit to Scott Armstrong, you know, who used to do Truthzilla and does the Rebunked podcast. I did a lot of, shirts for him on my actual business that I do. And I talked to him about the idea was, you know, Grand Theft World, which does a great show every week. It's about, 6 hours long and recaps a lot in the independent media and what's going on. And just from my perspective of everything being taken down on the internet, and it's so hard to keep up, especially during 2020, 2021, and so on, that I kind of wanted to archive it. And there's so many different shows to follow and find that I thought it'd be kind of cool if we could condense it even further and just a couple hours or so and just kind of recap it. And since I'm not, huge on my voice or my face, I thought it'd be kind of fun to mix it up and do a little kind of funny animation in between transitions, add a little slight humor to the vague news we get, the rough news we get on a daily basis. So kind of add a little humor to it, make it a little fun at the same time. And that's kind of how it spawned from there.
It must get a little bit of hard work actually doing the animation alongside it as well.
Yeah, I've been able to do everything as free as I possibly can. So I've been able to do a lot of screen records, screen captures, try to go deep into the animations, and originally just made as many animations as I could, and then I would do voiceovers on top of that, whether it was myself at first or random AI that I could program a voice and do it just for fun, even if it was an Alex Jones voice for fun, or a Joe Rogan, just to put fun at the mainstream, the mammies, from that perspective, as David Icke would say. I kind of poking fun little things like that, and the cruddy animation that's intentional, kind of like how South Park used to be. It kind of adds more it's supposed to look bad in those as a fun point.
Yeah, sorry, I want to do an Alex Jones impression. That's not him. Baby powder and all of this stuff now. Yeah. I do love that the even though I'm I always say talk about the dangers of AI, etc. But AI's got some positive benefits too, of course. It's not just any tool has a good side, a blunt side and a sharp side, doesn't it? And definitely it for things like that. I do love that you're out there doing it. And that idea you've explained, kind of the idea that you started off with, how did that develop as you go? Did you actually find that you could create the show that you originally developed, or what's been the pitfalls?
I would say, I wanted a more condensed show. It's kind of lengthened into a lot of times 2 to 3 hours, so I've kind of gone back to my whole goal was to have someone else do it, and it'd be kind of fun for myself to archive those and have little clips and give nuggets to different shows people could just at least try, and so they're not so stuck on the mainstream or even the new independent mainstream, and kind of really branch out from there. So it's turned into a lot longer and more work than I thought, but it is good, because with how long I drive to work in traffic, that's your show and a lot of others, that's just what I listen to. So it's a good way to kind of save those, so I have them, my kids can eventually see them when they're a little older and can understand things, so they're not just ripped off the internet. So it's added more work, but it's also, it's helped, because then I'll find other people that can be like, actually, you should, check this one out, check that one out. And, because sometimes I even create my own limited hangout without realizing it by just listening to the same things. And I kind of want to keep trying to expand it, but I catch myself from time to time, even like James Corbett, I love him and I love everything he does. And, the New World Next Week with James Evan Pilato, it's such a great show. So I put that in a lot. And then sometimes I'm like, I really should try to expand. I get in almost like music, you start listening to music for a while, you get into rhythms, and then I do the same with indie media. So I got to kind of expand it, more, and kind of keep it fresh.
Yeah, it comes down to the fact that people tend to see some of these shows and say, I'll go and watch all of these in the same place. That's all very good. But it's once you actually get the opposing view that you start to see people spark a little bit more and there'd be more interaction. Have you had any offers of people helping you out on this show since you started it?
As far as like producing, no, just kind of I throw together each week whenever I can. But I've had, the Indie, I don't know his actual name, but Indie from Indie News Network. They've shared a lot of my stuff. You know, you've shared a lot of my stuff, which is very grateful for that. And, AM Wake Up, you know, with Steve Poikonen, they play my show now every Friday, which is kind of nice to double stream it. 'Cause I can't get on, you know, Rockfin or anything. So, and YouTube's going to censor every other week. I just throw it out there to try to reach more, because not to drag on, but part of the goal too is to also get a lot of people that are into the indie media as much to get little nuggets to kind of get into it and see things they like to really get into. Maybe if they can just see one and it'll kind of, you know, trickle into a domino effect into finding other places, you know, like yourself and others, instead of just like the Rogans and the kind of the next step, you know, into real indie media.
Yeah, the real indie media. Well, we'll be back with real indie media after this short news break on today's News Talk TNT.
This is today's News Talk Radio TNT.
Here is the news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. During a hearing in Los Angeles on March 27th, a federal judge, Mark Scarsi, questioned Hunter Biden's legal team's lack of factual evidence in their motions to dismiss tax-related charges against President Joe Biden's son. ABC and ABC News have requested a 30-day extension to respond to a defamation lawsuit brought by former President Donald Trump, which alleges host George Stephanopoulos made defamatory statements about Trump being found liable for rape by a jury.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on TNT Radio. I'm here with Ryan Graham of the Independent Review, who I like this man a lot. So you've been involved in this, doing this kind of work now for a year. Do you have any complaints about the independent media, or is it all sunshine and roses?
You know, I'm so new to it that I really haven't been exposed to anything bad yet. So that's good. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of bad seeds as well as good seeds. But I will say, just at least in my experience, you know, running into people like yourself and others, everyone's been very, the people at least I've come across have been very welcoming, sharing, helpful, and nothing disparaging or conniving or anything, you know, at least, you know, in my experience. I can't speak for everyone. I'm sure there's a lot of people could have a lot of stories, but honestly, in my experience, it's been nothing but really grateful, helpful people. And I know I'm, you know, talking more on the true indie side, you know, I'm not big enough to, you know, go to those mainstream mammy type, but everyone on the indie media that I've talked to has been so nice and helpful and really willing to kind of put a hand in to help out.
Yeah. Well, apart from me, of course, who's been your favorite to follow so far on the Independent? I mean, you mentioned, of course, the GOAT, James Corbett,
yes,
and James Evan Pilato, who are both, they brought me into the indie media in the fact that I watched them over and over again. I was listening to Media Monarchy as well every single day. And Media Monarchy, for people who don't know, goes out. It's an audio proper radio program as well. Goes out every day with a different theme, and it's a very good collection of clips, well researched news. They're obviously really good. But who's been some of your favorites that you've come across, the ones that really spark something in you?
I will say, let's see, some lower, you know, not as big names, but You know, Six, who does a lot of stuff with the New Prisoners podcast, he kind of has his own little small network that's going on. He was on Fridays every week on AM Wake Up, but his job changed, so now he does Tuesdays, and he's expanding to he's trying to get a lot of people that get really blocked down in the algorithm up, and that's been good. The Indie News Network has been really fun to watch, and all the things that they put together. I would also say, obviously, you know, AM Wake Up every morning is really fun. There's a lot of humor, good guests. It's fun to, you know, catch up with Steve. And there's a few, you know, Derek Brozo, he's been on fire lately, especially with the fluoride trial and a lot of things that you got to really respect that. That's, he's just putting that out there. You just talked to him the other day. I still love watching it. Voyer, he's awesome. He's a good guy. I know I'm missing out on a lot of people, so I feel bad, but,
well, those are some real ones. Keep thinking about them, because all of these guys you're talking about, you know, I've had my personal experience with them. They're all trying very hard to get out the information. But you must have been you've been taking in all the indie news. How has your vision of the world changed since you've been doing this?
I came late to the game, being exposed to all this kind of news probably 2019, kind of when the Epstein stuff started. That's honestly when I kind of really got kind of awakened to a lot of this stuff, so I'm still fairly fresh, right? And finding new journalists and media outlets that kind of intrigue and have good stories to watch. So I would say, I apologize, I lost my train of thought there, but what was the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so was it taught you, like picking up?
Oh, what is it? Yeah.
Your sort of view of the world become like?
Not great. As far as, you know, the government, I will say there is a, you know, on the good side, to be the positive side, there are a lot of good people who are trying to expose this, you know, with good intentions, not just trying to make a buck, you know, and get famous, or those, you see those kind, you know, that's obviously a part of, you know, the indie media I try to avoid, but there's so much good too. Like, you know, people like yourself and others that are just really trying to get as much as they can out there, that are really truly engaged in the truth and, you know, trying to expose everything that they're hiding. And I think a lot of that has come through the last few years, you know, when you look at how many things have been kind of exposed. I know media helps with that, you know, just the technology of, you know, people being able to put stuff out there, you know, with Ukraine, with Gaza, all that to be exposed, you know, even COVID to a certain degree, how much they could, you know, get the real facts out there. That was promising for me. I mean, that's definitely changed my view on, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. But on the positive side, there are a lot of people, you know, in this media field that have a lot of good stuff to put out there. And if the algorithms would just allow it, it'd be good to get them out there more, you know?
Isn't it so? And you mentioned like Steve Poitman and Derek Brose. These are all people. In actual fact, last night I was invited onto an X space about Puff Daddy. It was the big X space, one of the Mario Nathwell ones. And I saw Derek Brose and Steve Poitman in there. They were invited up onto the stage, and they had up their hand the whole time, and they just didn't seem to go to them at all. So I get a feeling that some of the ones who want to look like they're the indie media use some of these faces as well to get a little pop. Oh, look at me, I'm a little bit cool. We're hanging around with the cool kids. And with Derek Brose, I find him so nice that sometimes that comes across in his journalism. Sometimes he's just, I've seen him interview Brad Edwards, who I would be interviewing with a bit of, you know, aggression. He's very nice to him. He's a very nice boy. There's a lot of those, but I do feel that those are the cool crowd as well.
You know, another show I watch, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you please.
You know, it's not on every week, but you know, sometimes, you know, the Union of the Unwanted is kind of a fun one. You got Charlie Robinson, you know, you got Ricky Verandas, you got OBD Mike, you know. That's a fun, you know, Sam Tripoli. That's a kind of a fun one with each week seems to be, or every other week, a different conglomeration of people. And they have a good convo with really like a lot of different opinions. Like, but no one's just like chomp. It's not like The View where they're just talking over everyone. You know, it's It's a good, it's kind of fun to watch and see the different opinions. I like that.
I do like that. I've been on it once or twice back in a while. They haven't invited me on for a while, but the indie media also is all kind of like, you know, drama at times. They're all in, you know, everybody's in bed with each other. And if you if you break up with someone or you don't go with someone else, then you're out of this group or out of this group for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's still got a little bit of cliquiness to it, but it's still still a good group of people. And the Union of the Unwanted, is course Jason Bamass and stuff will pop on there and stuff, and Jason Bamass of course is on TNT radio now. I mean, one of the most important voices on the independent media too. So Union of the Unwanted, any other, come on, give us another one of your favorites. I like to hear some favorites because it's good for people to go around and like catch up on some of these shows too.
Jason Bamass, awesome. He's killing it as always. Let's see. I do like Charlie Robinson has a lot of good stuff in his macroaggressions. He's got some fun. I love his rants he's got going on there. Monica Perez is always great. Courtney Turner, they have a lot of good stuff. I still listen to a lot of, you know, T-Lav. Let's see, Rebunked with Scott Armstrong, you know, like he's got, I'm trying to think of ones that are really putting out stuff on a weekly basis, you know, that I, because that's kind of what I try to check for. Obviously, there's other people that have really good articles and write stuff. They're just not, obviously, they got a lot of other stuff going on, so they're not putting out stuff every week. As far as a weekly, indie, like I should know more the amount of people. I think there's so many in my brain right now. But Indie News, definitely, actually, they have a whole network of people. Like Misty Winston, who's been on TNT, you know, she's got a lot of stuff on there. They have a lot of good stuff on that little network as well.
I do. I mean, TNT is just full of really, I really love, I feel blessed to be on stage with some of these people. Listen, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back on today's News Talk TNT.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Hear those pictures that you asked for your school project? First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Those beans smell heavenly.
Mm-hmm. Give Mom a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Oh, great idea.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
One scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
I'm relying on luck, but who knows if it'll be on my side.
When it comes to disasters and emergencies, it's not a matter of if, but when. Take control. 1. Assess your needs. 2. Make a plan. 3. Engage your support network. Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
We're back with Ryan Graham of the Independent Review on this today's News Talk radio on TNT. Ryan, so let's ask about the elections coming up, because I'm really interested to hear. You've taken in loads of information, of course. You're always taking in information from these various sources. What do you think about the main presidential candidates for this year's U.S. election cycle?
I'd like to quote South Park, where it seems to always be between a douche and a turd sandwich. Mm-hmm. And they're terrible. They're always terrible. And I don't really think it, you know, on the federal level, it's always hard to think the vote really matters. I still have a sliver of hope for local elections. I really kind of think sometimes you can help with those with school boards and make a difference sometimes, because I have seen it happen. Even in Michigan, I saw a whole city council got run out by the town. because they were doing forward investing and they just kicked him out. It was awesome. So I could see that. Federal is tough, but I will say, you know what, what I do notice with this is so many people that had come together these last since 2020 and over COVID and realizing all the craziness and the lies and everything is now they're starting to get split up again in an election year. And, you know, in a world where they have how many different choices of, you know, pronouns and everything, they always make it up to two choices for, you know, a binary. You know, it has to be whether it's a conflict somewhere, you have to pick one side or the other. You can't really expose both sides, right? So if you want to, you know, expose Ukraine for what it is, it just makes you a Russian shill instantly, right? But you can call out both sides, right? But the same goes with politics, I feel, in elections. So if you call out Biden, all of a sudden you're a Trumper. If you call out Trump, you know, you're a libtard. I mean, it's I think we could kind of get back to kind of making fun of both and exposing for what it is, you know. But I do notice that's the one thing I really hope it people can realize and see through the two-party illusion and try to ignore that. And but it happens every election year, you know, the most important of our lifetime every 4 years.
I call it like trope evoke, you know. It's like a time when there's loads of tropes are evoked. I actually, again, my experience of the X space I was on yesterday was it was about P. Diddy. It was about the hip hop industry. It was about the fact that all of these accusations and allegations were going around. And of course, there's lots of people who have done terrible things, lots of sexuality, you know, hip hop anyway, within the black community is really tough. Everybody wants to look cool and hard, have their girls around them. There's obviously trafficking and similarities to the Epstein case. And I try to explain that the same thing was going on in the UK with a DJ called Tim Westwood, who I've written a lot about and I've done some shows about, who basically ran the black community in London. And so many girls were affected by these sort of people, and yet now the communities are completely quiet, and they're quiet because of fear. They're quiet because it was like yardie gangsters in Britain, in London, who were taking over those scenes. And in America, it's like proper gangsters are hanging around with the hip hop stars. The hip hop stars would have, you know, all of the gangsters hanging around with them. So everybody was scared of people all the time. And sometimes it ended up in shootouts, like with Tupac Shakur, etc., getting shot down. So I try to explain that. Try to explain that there's obviously a problem within the hip hop community and within the black community because they're remaining silent over it. Hip-hop is mainly 99% made up of black performers, and the next person to come on the X space instantly called me a racist and said that I wasn't allowed to say that because it was all the police's fault and the BBC had tried to help out all of these poor victims when they'd actually tried to cover things up. So I do get a feeling that there's all of these tropes that come out when you talk about any of these issues. There's always someone who pops up and calls you the antithesis of whatever they think you are, or you know, complains about it. They say, oh, Biden, that you're Trump, no, Trump, no, you're Biden, and etc. But then we've got this other candidate here, haven't we? We've got this Robert F. Kennedy Jr. candidate. What do you think to him? What's your opinion? Because I have my opinion, but I would really prefer to know yours.
Well, I want to give you credit because you've done a lot of good work on him and exposed a lot. You know, I will give him this for being one of the few people on a very mainstream stage of calling out the vaccines and the COVID shots and prior stuff. You know, he did come around on that. I don't know, you know, the full intentions to the end game, but I got to give credit when they get some stuff right, you know? So that was big because you didn't really get that on a mainstream. And I'm not trying to, you know, crap on Rogan, but that's obviously the biggest podcast out there, right? And if he's on there exposing that, I'll give him that. That being said, you know, we could talk about his ex-wife. We could talk about Mary, or we could talk about a few other things with his connections on the Epstein side. He kind of tried to get ahead of that, seemed like, for a certain reason. There's a lot of questions. So it's almost like, you know, he kind of led you in a good way with the anti-establishment with COVID, but also we're seeing a lot of war hawking with the whole Israeli side, you know, over Gaza. That's not a good look. I mean, it's pretty disgusting. So, and it doesn't mean people can't be right and wrong at the same time, right? So, but I also am just very suspicious when it comes to people that get that high up, you know, just in general, like, how did you get there? Is there a reason? I know his name obviously helps. It's the, you know, the Kennedys. That's one of the most famous names, at least in the US, if not, you know, all over. But yeah, I'm definitely skeptic. I mean, I guess at least he called out more stuff than the two dementia guys out there. But I mean, it's still not. I am very suspect of intentions and where that would go and his connections to where it could just, it would be just, I feel the same thing. We're like, you know, I like him because he got that right. But he's going to do all the same stuff because at the end of the day, Congress still passes all the same stuff and their 1,000-page bills that they pass within less than 24 hours. I don't trust him personally.
There's a couple of things you said. Number one, about his wife, it's very clear that you're not allowed to mention the unmarked mm-hmm. grave where his wife is buried. And why a woman who had, I think it's 4 children who were all relatively young, like 11 upwards, would decide to end her own life like that. And some of the mystery surrounding it. And also, you know, what one of the things I'd say about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, taking that side with the vaccines, I'm with that. I was down with that. I was accepting that, but I noticed that he made a beeline for a lot of Epstein researchers to try and get them on board. And those are the ones who should be exposing him at the same time while the Epstein case is going on. So as a political gambit, that's amazing, amazing move. And it was very clever. And he did it. And then once the Zionism thing came out, or his support for really Zionism and for Israel, irregardless of the deaths in Gaza, it just is insane. I can't see how possibly he can remain getting support in the independent community. So it ends up with a load of people feeling disenfranchised again and maybe pushing people out. Not sure if that's the objective. Do you think Trump will win?
Oh, man.
Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure where they're going with their playbook. I could see it. I mean, I do think him coming in, whether it was intentional or not, really helped during 2020, because the kind of people that would have pushed back against the lockdowns and shots were pro-Trumpers, you know, at the time. So it worked well. And as we knew, half of the left was like, oh, I wouldn't take the Trump shot and any of that. And then lo and behold, we switched things over. Everyone switches back. So I could see it. It might be a good perfect storm for him to, you know, come back in and do all the same Zionist things and pass the same junk he was passing before, spend a ton of money. You know, I love to call out Biden too. Like you said, he's been absolutely atrocious too. And obviously just a puppet, because the guy, you know, it's just like elderly abuse at this point. He can't put a sentence together. So I could see that. I know a lot of people have been saying they think it might be him. Honestly, I really don't know. For all I know, they plug someone in last second, like a Newsom or something, God forbid, like coming in from California. That would be rough. But that's, I guess if I had to lean just from the amount of people I've heard, I guess I could say I could see him getting in. They could plug a lot more things in.
I'm wondering if the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Sort of entrance will actually split the vote, like a lot of people say, because mm-hmm. if it does, surely it'll just be taking away more Democrat voters rather than anything else. But nowadays they use courts to kind of try and affect elections. Do you see every single one of these election candidates being in jail before the elections come around?
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? No, I guess we've funny. Never. Yeah, that would be great. I wish we could go back and arrest almost every president that's done a war crime or everything. I mean, we could go back a long ways, right? With all the technical illegal things they've done. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd make me happy. I mean, it might cause a few old people to freak out, but I'd be okay with that. We could do that with Congress too. That'd be nice.
where are you going to go to keep up to date with all of this? Where, I mean, and what I, because this is a question I have. This I suppose with the indie review, you try and put it across on all platforms you can. The independent review, you try and put on across on all platforms. Of course, you get censored on YouTube and the like. Do you still have a channel on YouTube? I'm not even sure you do. Probably just, but what's the best platform do you think that you've discovered for uploading stuff, for freedom, for response from the audience? Which one's the one that you would prefer people to use, because that's kind of like the one?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you know, if you're already kind of in the know and you're already kind of in the indie media, yeah, if we can stay away from YouTube as much as possible, that's great. You know, Rumble, yeah, it's there, but it's also owned by Peter Thiel, so that doesn't excite me. Like, I mean, Mr. PayPal and Elon, I'm very suspect of that. Rockfin's been pretty good. I'm not on it except through AM Wake Up, which, again, I appreciate him. And I don't really know how much longer Odyssey will be there, but I do like Odyssey a lot. I also like how you can directly download off of Odyssey. So for me, that's nice to put together clips, because you know, it seems to be very, a lot of less mainstream, but a lot of good stuff. And if you're just sharing it, YouTube does get the most likes, unfortunately, when I'm not suspended. But half of that goal is to get people that don't see this to see it. Right. So if I can sneak in here or there, get a clip here or there, and get someone that isn't familiar with indie, and we can spread more news and get more people aware of this stuff that's going on, that's my goal. But yeah, unfortunately, YouTube probably gets the most.
this is definitely, I mean, you sound like you're having to be subversive, under the radar, disseminate the information they don't want you to know, accept the continued Facebook YouTube suspensions. I have to say that my experience is that it's still YouTube that gets, people just are used to using the platform. The platform's got lots of different options. It makes it easier for people. But I'm aware that, you know, I put up a clip from TNT, one of the clips. It was Andrew Kaufman talking about Terrain Theory.
Yeah, I love that.
They're not gonna like that then, no, that's for sure. No. So no. So I got my warning. I got my telling off, which I guess I got to the point where I've started to think, oh, I can't upload certain things. Is the independent review on the podcast platforms yet?
Yeah. I try to also put it on, I just use Podbean as a host, so it should go out to everywhere. I did hear, and this is just my lack of knowledge and learning new people, kind of the podfather was on the Union of Unwanted, Adam Curry, and he has his own like deregulated way to put it out on places like Podcast Attic and places like that, which is really cool. And he kind of has his own, I haven't finished that whole episode, but he really goes into depth on, you know, the kind of way he set everything up, and it's very interesting, and I kind of like where he's going with that. But yeah, it's on all podcasts as well. I haven't been taken off of that yet, thankfully. Just YouTube, obviously, but I'm still there. It's just when I'm not, you know, in YouTube jail, depending on the episode.
Which is basically permanently. When you said that then about another way to upload, you know, that instantly, as a content creator, someone who makes stuff myself, that made my eyes lit up, like straight away, by the idea that there could be another way outside the establishment. Have you thought about maybe collecting a special independent review that combines all of these tips together for people who actually want to do this job themselves?
You know, that's not a bad idea. You know, kind of help maybe even put together a little segment where I can kind of guide people in the right way to kind of do the same thing. Because there are so many out there that really have put out good stuff like yourself that just get so, whether it's the algorithm or the censorship, it just doesn't get out there. You know, even on like a Rumble, right? Because if you're not on a certain side, they get buried in Rumble as well, you know, really good stuff. And it's kind of sad to see. So yeah, that sixth guy I was telling you about that runs the New Prisoners, he's really trying to push that up and get a network to get those people up. And I think that's a great idea, you know, to try to help people find the right avenues.
It's funny you talk about Rumble. When you talk about Rumble, you comes across as the same way I feel about Rumble, which is, of course, Peter Thiel being involved isn't any good at all. And it seems I felt like it was a place to take all of these people on the independent media and stick them where only other people who already know the independent media will be. So you'll never get really new people coming through. But their lack of options and upgrades is really mm-hmm. notable, isn't it? It's really just a base platform that pays quite big people to front it up. Do you see it lasting?
I mean, they got the money, so that helps. I mean, Peter Thiel's got a lot of dough, so I could see it from that aspect. It's going to be hard to compete with Google, right? And YouTube's the ABC company. I mean, so far it seems to be working with that kind of, you know, the niche they've kind of gone for. Got a lot of the conservative type media. And a lot of indie too, like you said, they really kind of funneled a lot of people because they weren't getting censored. But I also noticed people don't get that money. So for now, it'll last. We'll see though.
Awesome. Listen, Ryan Graham of the Independent Review. Everybody should go follow the Independent Review. And I really mean that. Support this work. This is massive. This is really important because as they take us down from each place, this is someone who collects up all of that and puts it out there. So I really appreciate your work. Stay tuned in the second hour of the Jolly Bedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. And we are going to speak to some more guests about some more interesting stuff. I'll see you very soon.